You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. The legalization of recreational marijuana, how's that going to affect our Montana's canine units in particular? But it also, it goes into how do we police now for illegal drugs with this dynamic? And Jay, good morning, sir. How are you, Sergeant?
I'm well, Tom. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. Let's talk about this. And then I want to talk and go into how do you train a police dog, a canine? Because I know that there's probably quite a bit of that going on. Does the legalization of recreational marijuana force some changes for the officers and the animals?
You know, it's a two-part answer, Tom, as it does and it doesn't. First and foremost, on the Montana Highway Patrol, we currently have 10 canines across the state of Montana, 8 of which are trained on the odor of marijuana. And we are not going to get rid of any of those dogs at this time. And the main reason why we have our canine unit is it is still illegal to transport large quantities and traffic marijuana. Therefore, that's our purpose, and we will keep those dogs on the highways of Montana.
And I get that totally then. The dynamic, though, how do you plan on handling the dynamic? Are those dogs trained to recognize small amounts or to ignore small amounts? Or how will the enforcement of that take place?
So on the canine side, they are trained to the odor, and it's not a quantitative alert. And so what our plan is for the future is, yes, in the future, the canines that we will get after these retire, our dogs have a limited lifespan. Once they retire, we will be getting dogs that will not indicate on the odor of marijuana. However, we will always keep a few of them around for that purpose I mentioned earlier. But it does add a little bit different realm to our troopers out there on the road to the legalization. One of the big news stories that we've been having is, and we keep reminding everybody, is not only can you not take large quantities, you also can't drive while you're under the influence of marijuana. So really a lot has not changed for the Montana Highway Patrol, but we are adjusting some fine-tuned things.
The canine units, I want to talk about how we train them on the other side of this break, and I don't have a ton of time. So just as you said, it does and it doesn't change. Are Montanans 10 canine units, do we have room for more?
We do. It's a budgetary thing.
Yeah.
We need to find the right people, the right handlers. I mean, these troopers, these men and women are picked very carefully because this is a specialty position and truly two positions, the dog and the train and the handler.
Yeah. Well, I bet you got folks lining up. I'd to work with a dog all day long.
We do and we don't. It is definitely a high-stress position, a lot of training. We have mandatory training that they have to put in.
Sergeant Nelson, stand by. I want to hear more about the training and as we'll continue here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Sergeant Nelson, Public Information Officer, Montana Highway Patrol. Carroll College athlete, as a matter of fact. So you were a fighting saint, huh?
Yes, sir. I was lucky enough to play under the great coach Bob Petrino, and definitely one of the heroes of my life growing up, and a great experience at Carroll College.
Awesome. 20-plus years with the Montana Highway Patrol, Sergeant Nelson. So is it a big deal? Are officers adjusting to recreational marijuana and still being effective as they try to enforce our laws against illegal drugs? Because, those things kind of do go hand in hand in terms of marijuana and then other Schedule I, Federal I drugs.
Definitely, Tom. I mean, I can tell you in my 23 years, the countless times discovering marijuana, whether on a person, at a scene, at a house, you name it. And when we talk about the gateway drug, and that is truly marijuana, because those times that I've found marijuana, probably in the high 90% rate that I find other drugs. And that's consistent with all of our troopers and other officers across the state. And so although there's an adjustment, we're still operating as normal, and there's not a lot of changes that we'll see with law enforcement.
This bill that kind of initiated policy behind the passing Citizens Initiative of recreational marijuana, so 704, I think, or was it 701, HB 704 maybe, it laid down a lot of groundwork, policy to try to walk into this. How, when you read that fine print, what do you see in there? Just chatting with you, there's a legal limit now for, how do you even describe it, cannabis in a person's blood?
Yeah, well, so we're looking at in the person's blood, and this is for driving under the influence. So it's a separate statute. This is for driving under the influence. Is 10 nanograms is the active metabolite, and that's what we're looking for with driving under the influence. And this had been passed well before the Legalization Act. And that's where our troopers are trained to recognize people under the influence of marijuana, or THC, which is the actual drug in marijuana. And we're able to recognize those individuals that are under the influence and able to take appropriate action.
So 10 nanograms of, and you called it active metabolite.
Correct.
Ah, that's interesting. I kind of anticipated maybe that being a bit of an issue, especially when you're trying to determine when you get to court on that. But that's good. So that legal limit has probably helped a lot, or does it help a lot?
You know, there's always that burden of proof, and that's where our troopers, and I just speak for the Highway Patrol, our troopers and the training that they go through putting together those cases, we don't take it lightly when we take somebody's freedom away and put them in jail. And when we do that, we make sure that the report is well written, that there is enough justification, enough legal cause to actually arrest that individual. So it helps, but yet we're still challenged on it on a regular basis, and we're willing to take those challenges on.
Appreciate that. Let's go back to the dogs, okay? Some are as you say, they have a certain amount of time before they serve and then they retire. What is that span?
So we would love to get about 7 years out of one of our canines that's actively trained and out there on the road. If we can get more, we'll take it. If we have to get less, we understand it's a living, breathing animal. These animals are awesome. They're a part of these troopers' families, and an integral asset to the safety of the citizens of Montana.
So these animals live with the officers. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they're not in a separate facility by any means and get picked up every day. They are living with the troopers and their families. Most of the time, they're virtually an integral part of the family, and they go to work just like dad or mom goes to work every day. And it's interesting and just neat to see the dynamic of these dogs and their handlers on the roads of Montana.
What kind of highway patrol officer can actually become would you call it a canine officer?
Our canine handler is what we call it. And truly, Tom, I can tell you, these are some of the best troopers that we have on the Montana Highway Patrol. The amount of training they go to, the amount of dedication, and not only just the training aspect, but dog issues, behavioral issues. If you could imagine carrying your dog with you to work every day, there's a lot that goes into that, and we have to make sure we have the right people, and we really have been, we really prided ourselves on the people we've trained as handlers for the Montana Highway Patrol.
And it seems like the canine units are very effective. I mean, there's, whosever idea it was, over the years, they have made it work because it continues to be an important part of law enforcement.
It does. I mean, any time that we can use a tool in law enforcement to ensure the safety and well-being of the people that are traveling through or living in our great state, I think that's a benefit. And these animals are a great asset in so many different ways. We have bomb sniffing dogs, so they can determine if there's a bomb. They're utilized a lot across the state, as well as the narcotics dogs as well, getting large quantities of illegal drugs off of our streets.
And then after they're their years of service, they retire. What does that look like?
Well, I can give you the perfect example. Is one of our first, it was our first bomb dog. Her name was Kira. Amazing dog, Belgian Malinois, very much a part of her handler's life. She just recently retired, and she is living an amazing life with her handler, who's still a sergeant with the Highway Patrol and currently in charge of all of our dogs statewide. And I can tell you that Kira is enjoying her retirement. I think she would love to be out there on the road, but it is time, like we all have our time, and she's enjoying it.
So you take Kira for a walk in the forest, and she starts sniffing something out as a retired canine. Do you get a little nervous?
Well, yes, because then I think I could, I hope I can speak for every retired law enforcement officer. You might retire, but you don't take law enforcement out of your blood. And
yeah.
So if you see something, you alert to something, I would pay attention, especially to Kira, because I've worked with her, an amazing canine, an amazing asset to the Highway Patrol.
How do most of these dogs end up? Jay Nelson is with us, Sergeant Jay Nelson, Montana Highway Patrol Public Information Officer, as I mentioned, born and raised in Helena and been with the Montana HP for 20-plus years. How do handlers... Do most of the dogs in their retirement end up with their handlers?
I would say the majority do.
Yeah.
I mean, and really it comes down to everybody could probably understand, your listeners that have a pet out there. If it came to the day of next Thursday, we get rid of our pet, it's a devastating day. And so the most of our handlers want to keep their dogs on the Montana Highway Patrol. We give that opportunity. And I think it's an awesome thing that we do, because these dogs are a part of the family, part of that trooper.
What about the ones who don't? Is there a list? Can the public step in and adopt these dogs?
Well, I think, you know, that's something that we've thought about. We've had discussions, but luckily we've never had to cross that bridge yet. Like I said, it's amazing bond. I mean, if you could imagine working with a partner every single day, nobody's wanted to get rid of them yet.
Is it just the bond to this single handler? And how long does it take? They get the animal as a puppy, I presume? Or what's that process?
So it's not a puppy. You know, usually they're beyond sort of that puppy stage. And then they go to extensive training. We've picked up dogs from all over the United States. They have to be certified as a law enforcement dog. They have their specialties. Like I said, we have bomb dogs. We also have the narcotics dogs. Those are different specialties. Roughly around that 8 weeks of training. And then the ongoing training. By policy, our handlers have to do 10 hours of training every single month. And that's the minimum. Most of our handlers, and I would say all of our handlers, are going well beyond that minimum number.
It's really cool. Is 10 about, it takes a certain department to host an animal too, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, there's vet bills, there's food bills, there's, we've had injuries, we've had to, you know, deal with that. It's an expensive thing. Now, you know, recently Attorney General Austin Knutson has come up with, there's a grant program that's out there looking at getting more dogs out on the road.
Yeah.
There are funding sources, but it takes a lot to have a canine program and a very stringent program, and you need that with court cases and things that are out there.
I just love the idea, man and animal out there enforcing our laws, or as you say, used as a tool, but so much, it becomes so much more. So
it does. It's just part of the family.
Yeah.
They're an asset, but they go to work just like mom and dad, and serve the state of Montana with pride.
Well, take care of them, and they'll take care of you, right?
Exactly. They're a great asset to the citizens of Montana.
Jay, thank you so much. I appreciate that, and we'll catch up. All right, we'll circle back. Obviously, we. I do appreciate our Montana law enforcement officers, Sergeant Jay Nelson, Montana Highway Patrol.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Stay safe out there. And I do mean that. Give everybody a big pat on the back from us, because I know the difficulties that you've been facing with national politics and things like that. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. That means a lot.
All right.